Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to get up with another stunning quarterback move. Deshaun Watson is headed to Cleveland. What does it all mean for the Browns, and what happens to Baker Mayfield? Plus, Devontae Adams bids farewell to the Packers. See exactly what he had to say as he walked right on out of Green Bay. And the AFC West just keeps getting stronger. Are the Chiefs suddenly underdogs in their own division? Good morning, everyone. I am Shay Cornett filling in for Greeny this morning. We have a ton of football, obviously, to get to, and we will, obviously, because Jeremy Fowler is here, Tim Hasselbeck is here, and from the digs in the comfort of his own home, one swagoo, Marcus Spears, is here as well. And again, we will get to all the football, but first, we start with the thriller of the night in college basketball. One-seeded Arizona taking on the 9-seed TCU. Second half, score tied at 52, Benedict Mathurin slams it down. Just an absolute poster dunk from Mathurin. But Arizona suddenly finds himself on upset alert. Under 20 seconds to play, Arizona down three. Mathurin here hits the triple. That's good to go. Score tied at 75. What a night for Mathurin, by the way. TCU now with the ball looking to win it. Daylon Terry, great defense here. Comes up with a steal, finishes on the other end. But wait a minute. One more look. The ball still in his hand when the lights go off. So the score remains tied, and we're headed to overtime for some free basketball. Final moments now of overtime. Arizona up three. Mathurin can't hit the three, but Coloco is there to clean it up, and Arizona holds on to win it 85-80. And so according to our basketball power index, Arizona has a 7% chance to win the national title. BPI gives five other teams a better shot at winning it all. That would be Gonzaga, Houston, Kansas, Purdue, and Villanova, all with better chances at this point to win the national championship. We're going to talk more college basketball a little bit later on, but now we start with the blockbuster trade that shook the NFL world. The Browns traded five draft picks, including three first-rounders, to the Texans in exchange for Deshaun Watson. The Browns immediately gave Watson a $230 million contract, all guaranteed, the most in NFL history. So here's how the trade all breaks down. The Browns get Watson and a 2024 fifth-round pick. The Texans get first-round picks in 2022, 2023, and 2024, as well as a 2023 third-round pick and a 2024 fourth-round pick. Woo! It's a lot of picks. Okay, so here we are. Jeremy Fowler, let's start with you. How did this all get pushed across the finish line? Because okay, it was a long time coming, it seems like.
I just checked on this morning. Here's what I was told. That the Browns, even back in December, late in the season, they started looking into Deshaun Watson, outsourced a private investigator to check this out, knowing that they could stay with Baker Mayfield. But let's look at our options here. Things have not gone so well. Then they were told last week, we're out on Deshaun Watson. Then Baker Mayfield requests the trade. They were still thinking, hey, we can reconcile with Mayfield at that point.
Right.
Friday morning, I was told, that's when the Browns got clarity that Watson could have a change of heart here and would be open to going to Cleveland. His criteria was to win. He did like the roster, like Kevin Stefanski. Make no mistake, the contract got this over the finish line, $230 million in guaranteed money. But the Browns felt like late in the game, they got clarity here. They can make this work. But they had been looking into Watson for a very long time, knowing that they felt like they were a piece away. And talking to execs around the league, they believe that is true, that maybe this has a Matthew Stafford-type impact on this team.
Interesting. So actually, it was Mayfield who ended up helping out Watson when all was said and done. Swaggy, what was your reaction when all of this went down?
I was actually shocked. And it was a late development with him going to Cleveland. Obviously, we had locked in on Atlanta and potentially New Orleans as those landing spots. But obviously what Jeremy just said about Baker Mayfield's reaction and then the money, right? Like, let's not fool ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves. $230 million for Deshaun Watson in this deal. And there's a lot going on. This is not just about this contract. This is also about Cleveland and the league and figuring out what they're going to do from a personal conduct policy standpoint. And how long they'll have to wait for Deshaun Watson to suit up. He still has 22 civil lawsuits against him. So when you start thinking about this particular season and how this may put Cleveland on the hump, he may not be available to Cleveland for a large majority of the season. So this is banking on down the road. This is also a part of the Cleveland Browns never being able to find a quarterback and getting a proven guy on the field like Deshaun Watson to carry this team to where they think they can go. But ultimately, the story is still about how much time will he be suspended. Okay. This is a great contract for him. This is a great deal for Cleveland from a football standpoint. But there's more to come, I think, from the league and how they determine how to go forward with Deshaun Watson in this particular season. And we may not be talking about this 2 years from now, but this year is very poignant.
Yeah, so there's a lot up in the air, right, until we actually hear from the league and if there is going to be any punishment for Watson going forward. But, Tim, I want to go back to something Jeremy said, and that is this could have, like, a Rams-type, Matthew Stafford type of impact on the Cleveland Browns. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think in some ways could be more significant than that. And, you know, I guess it's funny to say that considering the Rams just won the Super Bowl. But, look, Matthew Stafford, in fairness, it's kind of an up-and-down season for him prior to the postseason with how things worked out. Deshaun Watson... Okay, I don't think you can argue him out of being a top seven quarterback in the NFL. Like, you know, and oftentimes, like, I think it's easy to say he's a top five quarterback. Like, he's that talented. He's been that good. And so because of that, now you add him to a team that has a really good defense. They've got a great runner. They've got a good offensive line. They just acquired a talented wide receiver. It's a really good football team, and Kevin Stefanski's an excellent coach. And so now you're adding a guy that is a top-tier quarterback to that team. Think of what an improvement it is. It's basically swapping out at the most important position in all of sports for a guy that really no one was positive could play at a starter level. Like, that's what they've just done. So, you know, we can speculate about all the off-the-field stuff and, you know, the time that is potentially going to be missed. But if you're just looking at it from a football perspective, the team got significantly better by adding one of the best quarterbacks in football.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that to a degree. But look, the Browns completely underachieved last year. Are we going to really put all of that on Baker Mayfield? Marcus Spears, what do you think? Where does this now put the Browns in terms of the AFC? Are you putting all the mistakes the Browns made last year on Baker? And now it changes because they have Deshaun?
No, not all of them. I saw a defense that was abysmal at times, but ultimately you put it on the quarterback because that's the significant difference in change when we saw the Los Angeles Rams, using that example, go from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford. There is an idea. There is a mentality that comes along, too, with a guy hitting the field every time and you feel like you can win a football game. And the Browns didn't have that with Baker Mayfield. We could sit here and kid ourselves and think that they were going to go forward with the idea that they could win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. That was not the case. They paid Deshaun Watson $230 million because they know that he's a guy that can lead them to a Super Bowl with his skill set and talent and even overcome some deficiencies where they may be throughout the rest of this roster. Or if they have a bad Sunday defensively, they feel like they can put enough points on the board. And remember this, too. They got Amari Cooper in a signing. So this is two guys that we know have a tremendous amount of talent that are coming to Cleveland to work together and make this a better football team. And we all, this, they have been starving for this. Y'all, this is not just Baker Mayfield. This is 20-plus years of having bad quarterback play or here and there or up and down. Cleveland finally got a guy in Deshaun Watson in a football perspective that can win games when all things aren't right. And they've been looking for that for a long time. And when we start talking about the rest of the league and the AFC, obviously we got the AFC West, which is going to be a gauntlet. But Cleveland should be in that conversation based on having Deshaun Watson and going forward with him as their starting quarterback.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Marcus brings up a great point about the frustration of not having a quarterback. It really hasn't been like just this season. You know, there was some excitement with Baker because they had some success. But like,
and some consistency. Yeah.
Yeah. So like success, consistency, feeling like, yeah, we have a guy that can, they haven't had it forever. Yeah. And so, and I understand that ownership hasn't been the same, front office hasn't been the same, but at some point, like when you are in the building and you feel the weight of the tradition and history of your organization, you do look at that. Like it's impossible not to be aware of the fact that that's what's gone on there. You know, no different than if you're a place and you've had a great one, knowing the value of that and trying to find another great one.
Yeah, right.
So, like, that has to, at some level, influence the people that are, quite honestly, signing off on something that does seem like it has a ton of risk.
Yeah, because you look at Baker Mayfield, to give him credit, two playoff seasons in Cleveland is incredibly hard to do based on what we saw from them the last 20 years. The guy does deserve a lot of credit. Browns were beat up last year at several positions. That's partly why they underachieved, including Mayfield. I mean, the guy had a hard time throwing on that on the torn labrum on the shoulder. So major issues there. I think this is a ceiling thing. They're here with Baker. Mm-hmm. They know they can get here with Deshaun.
Okay, let's stay with the Deshaun situation because the Browns yesterday released a series of statements, and we want to get to them. So they called the research and investigation into Deshaun Watson, including the allegations of sexual assault and sexual misconduct against him, quote, extensive. Watson, of course, facing 22 lawsuits and a possible NFL suspension. Browns owner D and Jimmy Haslam released a statement. In part, you see the quote up on your screen. And again, we spent a tremendous amount of time exploring and investigating the opportunity to trade for Deshaun Watson. We're acutely aware and empathetic to the highly personal sentiments expressed about this decision. Our team's comprehensive evaluation process was of the utmost importance due to the sensitive nature of the situation and the complex factors that were involved. It goes on to say a lot of different things, but later on, the Haslams added this: we are confident in Deshaun and excited about moving forward with him as our quarterback and supporting his genuine and determined efforts. Okay. However, the attorney for the 22 women who have filed civil lawsuits, Tony Busby, says not a single NFL team has reached out to him or the women, and that would include the Browns. And he said this yesterday, in part, the Browns organization did not reach out to me. I didn't expect them to do so and can understand why they didn't, but knowing what I know, they probably should have. And so, Jeremy, when you hear all of this, and it's hard not to, right, take a step back and look at all of these statements and then what has come to fruition, and then hear Busby say, like, no one's reached out to me. How do you think the Browns handled this?
Well, they started with a private investigation. They tried to outsource it. That's their way of saying, well, let's you know, give this a full, thorough scope. But, you know, I think talking to some teams, they do have some reservations about reaching out to Tony Busby because, they don't know how it's going to be used, or you're talking about civil cases,
right,
criminal complaints, like right. There's some heavy stuff there where teams probably don't want to get involved in that process too heavily, but yet you still have to vet the situation. So there's a lot of gray area that I know teams are trying to figure out. Probably not a perfect solution there. I think the league is still taking a thorough stance on this, though. Like, I don't expect clarity on his potential suspension for probably a while. Talking to some teams, they think ballpark maybe 6 games. He'll miss. It could be more, could be less. They're really trying to figure that out. Browns don't know and probably won't know for a while.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because, first of all, there should be a decision or something said from the National Football League here shortly. We're going to start football soon in May. Yeah. Like, we're going to start having OTAs and things going on around facilities, and the league needs to come forward. If they're not done going through all their research and figuring things out, they should let us know this. And then in addition to that, I'm a little disappointed it took the Browns 48 hours to release this. We heard of this trade on Friday. We didn't get a statement until Sunday. And I understand everything had to go through the whole process and people needed to sign on the dotted lines and all of the other things. But I would assume that we had these kind of statements ready to go before you make a move like this, just because of how it appears sometimes to the other side, which is not just the football side. We'll see what happens here going forward. But again, your move now, National Football League. All right, coming up, Davante Adams wrote a long goodbye to Green Bay this weekend, but does his departure knock the Packers out of contention in the NFC? Plus, the AFC West is supercharged with superstars, but that spell big trouble for the Chiefs, maybe, and their Super Bowl aspirations? We'll discuss it next on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. Shea Cornett filling in for Greeny this morning. It's time to do some quarterback quick reads with our quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck. And Tim, let's start with the latest news about the Chiefs. Juju Smith-Schuster now, the rich get richer. What does he bring to the squad?
I actually love this move. I think he's great inside. He's got excellent run after the catch. He's not going to be asked to be the number one. And you think about the creativity in the Kansas City offense and how they can use a player like Juju Smith-Schuster. I actually think they ended up getting him on a pretty good deal, and he'll fit in nicely. And I don't have any doubt that the Chiefs will find a really good way to use him.
Yeah, right? Just all the trust always in the Chiefs and Andy Reid. What will Russell Wilson bring to the Broncos receiving core that has been loaded but hasn't had that QB maybe to figure things out?
You know what? It seems like we've talked about the receiving core in Denver for a while now of having all this talent, and I would agree with that sentiment. And I think what Russell Wilson brings is consistency at the position, the ability to create offense, you know, outside of the design of it. And then the other aspect of it is Russell's been an excellent deep ball thrower. And so when you have receivers with speed, that matters. And so I think, you know, for Russell, it's probably the best group he's played with in a while.
Okay, what about Davante Adams? The big news, obviously, him going to the Raiders to play with Derek Carr. What does he bring to him?
Well, I like the fact that there's already chemistry between quarterback and wide receiver, right? Former teammates in college, they know each other. They've probably worked out in the offseason together. And so I think there's elements of that you know that they're going to work well together. And then you look at Davante Adams, you know, he's going to be happy because he's gotten, you know, got a long-term deal for a player that's approaching 30. That's important. And then the other aspect of it is I think it's impossible to argue him outside of maybe a top three receiver. And so gives him an opportunity to go and improve really an offense that already has a bunch of good players.
Derek Carr and Davante Adams connected for 39 touchdowns in 2 seasons together when they were in college. Okay. That is the most by any college tandem in the last decade. Okay, so let's just all remember that. Let's stay in the AFC West, though. There's been a lot of moves over the last few days. You could argue, obviously, when this free agent frenzy has been going on. So now with all these moves, who's going to win the AFC West? We got some great choices here, guys. Marcus, I'll start with you. Who do you think wins the AFC West?
First, let me phrase this by saying, hell, Shay, I don't know who's going to win the division. I'm just excited that they all there. But I'm going to take the Chargers because I'm excited about the moves that they made. And I know everybody in this division is going to focus on offense. And we know Justin Herbert is there with the big arm and Keenan Allen. They re-signed Mike Williams. But I'm going on the other side of the ball where J.C. Jackson was signed, where Khalil Mack, who I think is going to have a revival across the line, across the way from Bosa. This defense got tremendously better. Remember, Asante Samuel Jr. was playing well before he was injured and then came back later in the season. And I still believe they have one of the top 5 defensive players in the league in Derwin James. And now to be complimented with a corner that can lock down one side of the field, and I think that offense is going to be as prolific as anyone we've seen in the league. I'm going with the Chargers.
Okay, Tim, who are you taking?
Well, I say Marcus, for not knowing, makes a very compelling case. But I will say this, though. I'm going to say the Kansas City Chiefs, and I would concede that they don't have the same defense that the Chargers have. But the reason I'm choosing the Chiefs is because I'm like Marcus. I don't know either, Marcus. But what I do know is Andy Reid, to me, is the best coach in that division. And so when the quarterback as good as any quarterback in that division and probably better than any quarterback in that division, and a head coach that I believe is better than any head coach in that division, I'm going with that kind of power structure. And that's why I'm saying the Chiefs.
The most proven head coach, too. I mean, they've got 2 new head coaches in this division this year. Who are you taking, Jeremy?
Well, Marcus, hell, you and I both do know that it is the Chargers, okay? I feel pretty confident in that right now. The Chargers legitimately believe that Justin Herbert is the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's there yet, but I kind of agree with what they're saying. Like, year 3, he's going to have a monster year. He's got more playmakers than just about anybody. And really, they tried to shore up their run defense. Huge issue last year. They added a bunch of free agents up front, defensive tackle. They have more depth there. You got Khalil Mack off the edge. I mean, J.C. Jackson, you know, 17 interceptions just in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, you know, as far as ball production, he's one of the best in the absolute game. So they're in good spot.
See, I'm going to go with the Chiefs on this one. The Chargers, you guys can ride with
sure
the Chargers
you
all you want.
Sure you
this
are,
is the, the was the seventh worst red zone defense the Chargers were in the entire National Football League last year. They haven't proven anything to me yet, whereas the Chiefs, what have they won the division 6 years in a row? Albeit now it gets a lot more competitive, obviously, this year. But give me the Chiefs for exactly what Tim said. It is a proven coaching staff and a proven quarterback that you can actually count on, especially in the postseason. But with all that being said now, guys, every year we're just pushing Mahomes, pushing the Kansas City Chiefs into the postseason. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case this year, Tim.
Well, I think that when you look at the way that, you know, the quarterbacks that are in the division, I think that immediately goes, oh, wait a second. Even though they're not as good as Mahomes, I would agree with the sentiment on Justin Herbert. Like, he's a superstar. Justin Herbert physically is in the class of Mahomes and Josh Allen. And so now all of a sudden you have that type of quarterback in the division. Obviously, Russell Wilson in his track record. Derek Carr, we're just talking about, you know, now with Devontae Adams, and he's been good as it's been. So I think that there's probably an element of just recognizing the fact that the other quarterbacks in the division do change things. But, like, you know, complimenting Andy Reid, like, in terms of coaching, not that it was a shot, but, like, there is an element of, like, listen, if it's 4th and 3 and you're on your own 17 and you decide that it's a good idea to go for it, like, there is an element of, like, coaches help you win football games. And I think with Andy Reid, he has a proven track record of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Swaggoo, what do you think? Have other teams finally caught up to the Chiefs? Seems like you think so with the quickness.
On paper, for sure. Listen, y'all, we haven't come into this. Think about this. We haven't come into this division with anyone close on paper to the Kansas City Chiefs. And because of the of what Tim just said, the quarterbacks. Nobody ever had a quarterback to compete with Mahomes, and we all gave the credence to that. The Kansas City Chiefs ain't been world. They weren't world beaters on defense last year. So there's going to be something that separates these teams this year in the division. I know Tyrann Mathieu is exiting from Kansas City, and everybody around the league can think that's small. I don't. I don't believe that's small at all. When you look at these defensive lines as they are currently constructed, you look at what the Chargers have with Bosa and Khalil Mack. You look at what the Raiders have with Max Crosby and now bringing in Chandler Jones, and then Chubb and Randy Gregory in Denver. This has gotten way harder for the Kansas City Chiefs to just walk through this division. And might I add, last year when we watched this team in the playoffs, and I think the Chiefs are going to be a top team before I make this statement and everybody go crazy. But I did see them in the second half against the Bengals not be able to put any points on the board. So I'm not just going to throw it out there because Mahomes and Andy Reid been doing what they've been doing. I believe they continue to have a high-powered, prolific offense. But you got to bring more to the table in the AFC West now than the Chiefs previously had to.
Yeah, they got humbled, though, last year. Like, everything came so easily for Patrick Mahomes. I'm fascinated to see how they respond this year. I think they will.
All right, coming up, Devontae Adams is headed west. Did Aaron Rodgers and his hope of a second Super Bowl, did he maybe just blow it? We'll discuss it. We'll dive into it next. This is Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
The Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. If you would like to help support and donate, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. As we continue on Get Up Now, Jeremy Fowler here. Let's run the hurry up and start things off with Matty Ryan.
Let's do it. I'm told Matt Ryan has not requested a trade from the Falcons, but he has been forced to look at his big picture career and where he might end up because of the Atlanta Falcons' pursuit of Deshaun Watson. Now, the feeling around the league is that multiple teams are interested and have either inquired informally or will look into this and plan to. And so he's got a $7.5 million roster bonus due early this week. That could be sort of an artificial deadline to come to a deal. You got the Colts, you got potentially Seattle, some other teams that are poking around here. You know, Baker Mayfield, the Browns are gauging his trade market. Well, some of those teams might want Matt Ryan instead. Now let's go to the Bengals signing Lyle Collins to a three-year deal. I'm told the Patriots were heavily involved here, made a competitive offer for Collins, but Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, all the Bengals pieces put on a little bit of a recruitment over the weekend trying to solidify this guy. The Bengals went all in getting three free agents for their offensive line to protect Burrow. They know the window is right now to try to win. And then let's go over to Robert Tonyan, the one-year deal, tight end back with the Packers. I'm told that this contract can get up to $5.5 million in total worth if he hits all of incentives. Should be at least $3.7 million for the base package. And this is the formula right now when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers. You come back on the one-year deal. He was hurt last year with the ACL. He can put up big numbers, maybe hit a big contract next year. I'm told free agent wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling is also considering a similar situation where you go back to Green Bay, maybe do a short-term deal, and be the guy for Aaron Rodgers, put up big numbers.
Well, because he needs a guy, right? Because he does no longer have Davante Adams, yeah, who on his way out, obviously going to the Raiders. And so he decided to take to his Instagram to post a lengthy post, let's just say that. Here's what it says in part: to the city of Green Bay and its fans, putting on the green and gold jersey and competing for you has been one of the greatest honors of my life. From day one, you welcomed a kid from the Bay with open arms and made me feel like family, and made my family rather feel at home there. I can never repay you for your gratitude, but just know that this city will forever hold a special place in my heart. Okay, so again, this was very lengthy on his Instagram. Yep. And he went on to thank a lot of different people, coaches, the city, but no specific mention of Aaron Rodgers in that thank you. Marcus, do you make anything of that?
Yeah, I do. It surprised me, actually. And now, you know, obviously knowing that Devontae and Derek Carr relationship was more so of what this decision was about, it still was about Aaron Rodgers and what we've watched for 2 years with the unsurety of if he'd be back. I think it speaks volumes that these guys had this type of connection, and Aaron was on the other end of Devontae being as elite of a wide receiver as we saw in the league, and you don't make mention on your way out. It's similar to when Tom Brady didn't mention the Patriots when he quote-unquote retired initially. So, yeah, I think it's something that – I don't think this is something that slips your mind. I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it. I know both of these franchises are trying to move on, but this is not one of those things that slip your mind when you've done so much work and has so much success with one particular guy that has been a part of your journey and your success as much as anybody in the league, and you didn't mention him in your going away. So I think Devontae was obviously affected by what Aaron Rodgers had transpiring for the last 2 years with the Green Bay Packers. This is not a mistake not to mention Aaron Rodgers, because you have a lot of time to make these statements, and it didn't have to come out that day without mentioning him in it.
Yeah, I hear you, but, like, he thanked all his teammates, because then what? Then you got to go down the whole list of, like, everyone else? I don't know. I feel like we put so much stock
into
people's
words on social media. No, you just make mention of the guy that you made history with. Like, come on now.
Give him a name.
Are y'all serious? Y'all think this
maybe
is a small
deal? Maybe he's
going to
do, like, a montage of photos or something, how they did their last dance. Maybe it'll be, like, yeah, him and Rodgers' little montage on his way out. Okay, what is next for Green Bay, though, after this? After this Adams trade.
Well, they're going to load up on wide receiver. They're going to try to re-sign Valdez-Scantling. They got two first-round picks now. Look, you see A.J. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, DK Metcalf, all these guys around the league coming out of the draft and producing immediately a wide receiver. The Packers know that, so they're figuring, hey, do we need to pay somebody $25 million a year where we can pay a first or second round pick in the draft maybe $2 or $3 million a year, and they're going to put up high production if they're playing with Aaron Rodgers. And then they're going to add maybe a free agent. I know they looked into Allen Robinson last week before he signed with the Rams, so they are exhausting all options at the position. And look, players are smarter than we give them credit for a lot of times. We saw Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers post that last dance photo over the summer.
Yes.
I think they knew this was going to play out maybe similar to how it did. I mean, Adams knew, hey, contract negotiations didn't go well. They're going to franchise tag me. I'm not going to play in the franchise tag, and I'm going to get a trade. I mean, the word is he bought a house in Las Vegas months ago. Like, this was all sort of telegraphed.
We should be paying attention to real estate.
And see, that's why I'm kind of with you, Shay, from the standpoint of, like, I think this is like two friends winning the lottery. Like, that's okay. Right. Like, Aaron got what he wanted. Okay, players are happy when other players get paid.
Yeah.
And Davante Adams, to Jeremy's point, he's going to be, if he played on the franchise tag, which he didn't want to do, he would then be 30 years old looking for a new contract. And the guys don't want that.
Right.
So to
right.
be able to get a deal that mm-hmm. gives him $65 million guaranteed, you can buy a house in Las Vegas.
Really?
So like I just, I think to your point, I think they kind of knew this was happening. I think it's good for both guys.
Yeah.
So. I'm not seeing the animosity or the struggle, like, hey, you know, you abandoned me.
So Tim and I will be waiting with bated breath to see all of the montage photos of Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers pop up on his Instagram feed. All right, we got to get to the NBA because there's also things going on around the association. Joel Embiid and the Sixers, they took on the Raptors last night. We picked things up here in the second quarter. Sixers up by three. Embiid drives, finishes, nice reverse layup. Fantastic finish by Embiid here. Sixers would trail by three at the break. So now we go to the fourth quarter, under 7 minutes to play. Sixers down three still here, and Embiid drives, somehow gets it to go, and the foul. After the made free throw now, we're all tied up at 82 apiece. So under three to play, Raptors up one. That's Siakam. Fadeaway, jumper, that's good. Siakam would finish with 26 points, and the Raptors go up by three. 7 seconds left, Sixers down two. Harden drives, and he's called for the charge here. And, man, this is really untimely with time winding down. And not only is he called for a charge, but it's deemed a flagrant one on Harden. Raptors would hold on to win 93-88. And so Tim Legler joins us now. Sixers were outscored 24-14 in the fourth quarter last night. Is this a blip, or is this something we should be worried about, Legs?
No, that was as bad an offensive quarter as I've seen all year from any team in the NBA. That kind of ball security that you lack, not getting field goal attempts, being too Harden-centric in their offense. And to me, this is a formula for disaster for Philadelphia if they operate their offense in key moments like this. In a one-possession game, you've got to continue to move the basketball. You've got to continue to play fast and play through Joel Embiid more often, I think, in the mid-post to low-post. He has a tendency to drift out onto the perimeter because he wants to touch the basketball. When they get caught up in letting James Harden play the same way that he played in Houston, which is basically all high ball screen or ISOs, they're going to get in trouble because you're going to see teams load up on him. They don't have a ton of shooting around James Harden on that team. They're not very deep. So now you really are relying on Harden basically to just own the game possession by possession. And it's a formula to get them bounced early in the postseason. So right now, the verdict very much out on this team. I think the key is Tyrese Maxey. He has got to be more involved in key moments. He checked back into the game last night, Shea, with 7.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. He did not have any bearing whatsoever on the offense the rest of the game, except for a meaningless dunk with 8 seconds to go. He is your next best offensive player. You've got to continue to include him. And I think he's so young, sometimes he defers to the stars, and they get very predictable. So right now, I'm concerned. They're not very deep. And they're very predictable when the game is on the line. It's something they're going to have to try to get tightened up here before they get into the postseason.
Well, yeah, and if you're going to rely on the stars, if the Sixers are, then James Harden needs to be better, specifically in the fourth quarter. He played 9 minutes, didn't make a shot, and turned the ball over 4 times. How concerned are you with this, what we saw from Harden down the stretch?
Yeah, I am concerned because I think, again, he's not at the James Harden level that he was in Houston in his peak, when really he overwhelmed any matchup in front of him. You know, listen, guards, it's attrition. He's got a lot of mileage on those legs. It's a little bit more difficult for him to do that at this stage of his career. When you want to play that way, when you've got 5 sets of eyes just trained on you, knowing that everything is going to happen from 30, 35 feet out with a live dribble, it's easy for teams then to force you into tough spots on the court. He was very careless with the basketball last night. They did not get shots, 14 points in that quarter. In a game, really, against Toronto that you're in control of, it's a one-possession game at home. You've got the two best offensive players on the court. You should win that game. They don't even get quality looks. So, no, there's no question. It's concerning with who they're going to have to face in the postseason defensively. This is how you're going to operate your offense in key moments. That's a problem.
The postseason. What about tonight? They face the Heat tonight. Better get things figured out with the quickness. All right, let's go from the East now to the West because we must talk about LeBron James because, you know, this is Get Up. On Saturday night in D.C., LeBron James became the NBA's second-leading scorer all-time, passing Hall of Famer Karl Malone. LeBron James finished with 38 points in a 127-119 loss to the Wizards, and the Lakers now fell to 11 games under .500. Yes, this is great. Okay, LeBron passed a big milestone. Wonderful. But here we are talking about the Lakers still. And right. It's just not enough, though, for LeBron to put this team on his back and for them to get wins. We saw it again on Saturday night.
This is a team that defensively, they just don't instill fear in anybody. So regardless of the gaudy numbers LeBron is putting up, and he's had nights, even like last night, where Westbrook also plays well. It's just not enough because they can't stop anybody. This team defensively is so porous that everybody that plays them feels like they can get into a rhythm. Guys make shots. Guys become better offensive players than they typically are because they're so confident they're not going to see any real pressure or physicality out of Lakers defensively. So that's really their biggest issue. Now, LeBron has been absolutely spectacular. It defies logic to see a guy in this sport be this good at this age and put up these kind of numbers. It's taken a toll on him, I think, mentally and physically. He's trying to do everything he can right now to put this entire team on his back offensively, and it's still not leading to the type of wins to make you think they can survive the play-in. They're in real trouble to get into that 9-10 matchup right off the bat and go home after one game. I know Anthony Davis could be around the corner, but Anthony Davis is a Band-Aid. He's not a tourniquet. And that's what this team is going to need.
Not a what?
A tourniquet.
I don't even know what that is.
Stop the bleeding. That's something you put on somebody when they're bleeding okay, profusely.
Got it.
You use a tourniquet to Band-Aid stop the bleeding.
Band-Aid, I was familiar with.
All right.
Tourniquet, not so much.
Sorry to go all Civil War on you.
Right.
I probably apologize
you.
For that.
Got it.
But that's AD is not all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to have enough time to really get his legs under him. So it's a concern even thinking that trap of, well, once we get AD, we're going to be fine. They fell into that trap last year, and they got bounced in the first round coming out of the seventh spot against a really good team. Even if they survive the play-in, I don't see them beating any of those teams at the top of the West. But I think legitimately they could be going home after their first game.
Yeah, I mean, they have a two-game cushion or something like that right now, and we don't know when Anthony Davis is coming back. And like you said, he could be a Band-Aid. We'll leave it at that. All right, coming up, don't look now, but the Rams are reloading for another Super Bowl run. Can anyone in the NFC slow down L.A.? We'll discuss it next right here on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up here. Let's talk about the Rams because they're making moves following their Super Bowl 56 victory. Matthew Stafford locked in an $160 million extension over 4 years. His new deal will run through 2026. How about some changes to the wide receiver room? Former Bears wideout Allen Robinson joins LA on a 3-year, $45 million contract. Robinson had just one touchdown catch last season, his fewest with Chicago. And the Rams also dealt Robert Woods to the Titans for a 2023 sixth round pick. Woods tore his ACL this past November after playing just 9 games. He spent 5 seasons with the team. And so the Super Bowl champion Rams have made some sneaky big offseason moves, but there's been other things that have kind of captured our attention, right? So if you had to pick a team in the NFC that is the biggest threat to the Rams this season, Jeremy, who would it be?
I'm going to go with the Bucs. This is the team that might have the best roster in the NFL still. They're loaded at every position. There's a reason why other quarterbacks, when Tom Brady retired for those, 2 days, whatever it was, wanted to go to Tampa Bay because they believe they can win there. And Tom Brady, you know you have a reliable option. He's not going to turn the ball over. They're still going to be salty about that Rams playoff loss. They came out so poorly to start that game, rallied at the end. They're going to want another crack at it.
What do you think, Tim?
I'm going with the Green Bay Packers. I feel like everyone's kind of turned their attention elsewhere, but like, I think it's some crazy stat. Like, you win the turnover battle in a game, you get an 80% chance of winning that football game, right? Aaron Rodgers, over the past 4 seasons, 136 touchdowns and 15 picks. Matthew Stafford threw 17 picks last season alone. You're going to win a lot of football games with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback because he gets the ball into the end zone. He doesn't turn the football over. Even without Devontae Adams, they're still going to be a really good team.
Marcus, who you got? Green Bay, Bucks, the field? What's going on here?
I'm going to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Me and Jay Fowler on one today. We are together, lockstep. Listen, with Tom coming back, 5,000-yard passer, but ultimately I know when he gets to a divisional round in the playoffs, he's not just only going to score 10 points. And with Godwin coming back off of an ACL, with the type of mentality I believe Tom Brady is coming back in this locker room with, because what else would you come back for outside of knowing that you, one, have a shot to win a Super Bowl, and you feel like you have unfinished business after losing to the Rams, making that rally at the end of the game. I'm not betting against 12 in the NFC. You give me the Rams, you give me the Green Bay Packers, you give me the 85 Bears. With Tom Brady deciding to unretire, the only reason he's doing that is to come back and beat Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers on his way to get back to a Super Bowl. And I'm going to bet on that before games are being played.
We're just all going to forget about the 12-5 Cowboys. Like, yeah, they had a botched spike at the end of the game. Beside that, we're just all going to sit here and pretend like they're not bringing back the majority of a really good roster, Marcus?
Shay, I know what you're doing. Stop it. Listen, I didn't pick the Dallas Cowboys to win the damn Super Bowl last year when they perceivably was going to be the best team in the NFC. I ain't picking them this year either until they show that they are ready for the moment, and the moment is the playoffs. If they get in and they can show that they're ready to answer the bell, and unfortunately for this team, it was the offense that let them down. 2 years ago, we talked about how abysmal the defense was, and you can't win anything with them. We get to down towards the end of the season and into the playoffs, and now the offense can't move the ball. I don't have them in the conversation to win the Super Bowl when you got Brady, you got Stafford and the Rams and McVay, and obviously Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
The Cowboys, it's like the boy that cried wolf, you know? It's like we've all now just written them off because we can't trust them anymore. You know who you can trust? Coach K and Tom Izzo, usually, in March. We had a thriller last night on the basketball court in the NCAA tournament. Number 7, Michigan State. Number 2, Duke. Tom Izzo, Coach K facing each other a record 6th time in the dance. Paolo Banchero driving, finishes at the rim through contact. Blue Devils on top here by 1. Banchero finished with 19 points. Same score. Roach pulls up from 3. Good to go. Blue Devils win it 85-76 to advance to the Sweet 16. Coach K becomes the first Division I coach to reach 1,200 career wins. And here he was after the game.
I'm incredibly proud of my guys. This is you guys were terrific, man. I'm really proud to be your coach. You know, that it had nothing to do with coaching in those last 4 or 5 minutes. It all had to do with heart and togetherness. And they followed their hearts, and God bless them. You know, we're in the Sweet 16.
You know, Seth Greenberg joins us now here on Get Up. But, Seth, watching that game last night, I didn't have a dog in the fight, but I realized towards the end of that game I didn't want it to end because I didn't want Coach K this to be the last time for me to see him on a basketball court. But, you know, you look at what they were last night, the Duke Blue Devils. Did you finally see something in them that maybe you hadn't seen before in this tournament?
I did. They showed championship identity and championship DNA. And a couple of plays kind of stick out to me. The last play of the first half, their execution in that short clock situation, getting a slip. But the last 5 minutes of the game, all right, down 5. What do? They went to their championship DNA. What is that? They were tough physical defensively. They created turnovers. They had the ability to protect the front of the rim. And then Paolo Banchero, he didn't settle. He drove it to the front of the rim, played through contact. They showed a championship DNA, a championship identity in the last 5 minutes of the game that could propel them to a championship in Coach K's last season.
Okay, so can that carry over now? Duke is a 1-point underdog in the Sweet 16 against Texas Tech. What is the single most important factor in that game to you?
They got to deal with Texas Tech defense. Texas Tech will keep them on one side of the court. Let's put it this way. This will be an absolute rock fight. Texas Tech is as physical defense as there is in college basketball. They redefine what a foul is. They're going to make it hard for Duke to reverse the basketball. Duke's going to have to be strong with the basketball and operate in the middle third of the floor. If they can handle the Texas Tech defense, Duke will win this game.
Okay, let's do some superlatives here before you go. I love superlatives, so I know you've got some good ones for me. Let's start with Carolina. What do you got?
Gritty, grimy, tough together. And what Carolina did against Baylor was absolutely incredible. They lose 2 starters down the stretch in overtime, blow a big, huge lead. R.J. Davis, the point guard, was the difference. His ability to be physical, tough, make plays, score the basketball, that big basket was absolutely huge. R.J. Davis was amazing. And then when I think of Michigan, I think of the world resilience because they weren't in the NCAA tournament. They had to play their way in. Juwan Howard was suspended. They had to win games to earn their way in. Not only did they earn their way in, but it brought their team together. Obviously, Hunter Dickinson has been absolutely terrific. And on the defensive end, they've been absolutely terrific. And then St. Peter's, just a bunch of city dudes. I mean, that's what these guys are, a bunch of city dudes. Played a game in West 4th Street. Played a game at the Rucker. Played a game shirts and skins. Played a game 1st-15. These guys really don't care. They just want a ball. They don't care what's on the name of the other team's jersey. They just want a hoop. They don't care who you are. They're just a bunch of city dudes coached by a city dude, Shane Holloway, who don't tell him he's from New York or New Jersey, because that dude is a New York guard. And you know what? You win with New York guards.
Oh, says someone from New York. I wonder where that came from. You know, we were all dogging the Peacocks, and now here the Peacocks are dancing all the way to the Sweet 16. Seth Greenberg, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Shay.
So the NCAA Women's Championship second round continues today on ESPN with Kansas State squaring off against number one seeded NC State at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Then Tennessee takes on Belmont at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, followed by UCF and UConn. All games are also available on the ESPN app, so you can watch anywhere you want. Coming up, the NFL gave us one more blockbuster quarterback move, but does Deshaun Watson make the Cleveland Browns true title contenders in 2022? We'll discuss it next here on Get Up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.